Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson, president of Body Sculpt of New York. Welcome to 6 Weeks of Fitness, episode number 14, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, if you know of anyone in need of personal training, group fitness instruction, or nutrition counseling, please contact me at vince@sixweeks.com or call 718-346-5852. Now, I want to start this program by thanking each and every one of you for tuning in to listen to my podcast. Our listening audience has grown exponentially, even overseas, in this short amount of time. Now, I'm working very hard to bring quality programming to you, my listening audience, and it is my desire to continue bringing guests on who can add value to the program and to your life. I will not waste your time. Now, from early childhood through adulthood, we love to play with puzzles. We like the way they challenge us. We like the way they challenge our thinking and exercise our minds. Puzzles are also an important educational learning tool for toddlers and young children, as they provide many skills and mental learning benefits and opportunities. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by Kevin Dunn, creator and founder of Puzzles for Us, a unique and inspiring company that utilizes interactive word games, puzzles, and other activities that help prep youngsters for academic and personal success. Now, remember the words of George Bernard Shaw, who said, "We don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing." And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 Weeks of Fitness. Kevin Dunn is the founder and CEO of Puzzles for Us, the acclaimed cultural edutainment series that spotlights the rich historical legacy and ongoing contributions of people of African descent to the global community through exciting puzzle books, workshops, and presentations. The award-winning author of 4 books, The Crossword Connection, In Search of Yourself, Puzzles for Us, Jr., and Piecing It Together. Mr. Dunn uses his Puzzles for Us series as a vehicle for increasing literacy, building self-esteem, and for connecting people and communities to life-enhancing information and resources in a fun way. I am pleased to welcome Kevin to the program. Hey, Kevin, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Vincent. You know, thanks for having me on your show.
No, thanks for coming on, man. I think you have some valuable information to add to the program, so I'm glad you're available to share what you know and what you're doing with my audience. But before we discuss your company, tell us about your background. Where did you get your start?
Okay, good question. Well, I grew up here in New York. Actually, I'm a Brooklyn native, you know, now reside in the Bronx. And how I got my start? As a youngster, you know, I like having fun. I heard you mention the quote by Bernard Shaw about, you know, we grow old when we stop playing. Well, you know, as a kid, I loved to play. And even as an adult, I still love to play. But, you know, part of playing for me was, you know, word games. I used to like the games that we played as a kid called Hangman, where, you know, someone, you know, would, you know, like have blanks and you had to fill in the blanks. And if you got it wrong, then they added another piece to the body, you know, which became the Hangman. And, you know, games like that, you know, just intrigued me and my imagination. And just over the years, you know, games like Scrabble and other types of word games, you know, always like, you know, held a fascination for me. Somewhere in my teens, you know, I got turned on to African-American history. And actually, I think there was a comic book series that's still around. It's called Golden Legacy. And the gentleman who created the series, he actually lives up in Yonkers, New York. But as a youngster, I came across, you know, this comic book series where featuring black cowboys and people like Toussaint Louverture and, you know, the people who wrote the Three Musketeers, Alexander Dumas and, you know, his siblings. And that really, you know, piqued my interest, you know. And so it was a combination of being exposed to, you know, the African-American history comic books and my love for word games that eventually evolved into, you know, the series that we now call Puzzles for Us. You know, so that's pretty much like the quick version, you know, just to summarize. But that's pretty much how I got started. And, you know, so over the years, I did it as a hobby. And, you know, a few years ago, it eventually grew into a full-time business.
Okay, sounds great. Now I definitely remember Hangman. So you said that. I'm like, oh, yeah. I used to play that in school. I should have been focusing on my education, but I was playing Hangman.
Right, you and me both.
But, you know, now prior to creating Puzzles for Us, though, what type of work did you do?
Well, my background, I'm a database programmer by profession. And, you know, what that means essentially is I created, like, you know, when you go to the library and you take out a video and, you know, they have a system where they can keep track of who have what video out or what movie or what book. You know, I created applications like that for healthcare organizations. You know, so I would create the programs. They would come to me and they would say, well, look, you know, Kevin, we need a program to be able to track whatever, you know, and so I would just, you know, do the program and, you know, create the user interfaces and so on and so forth, which was a lot of fun. So it allowed me to use some of my technical skills and my creative skills, you know, so I did that for about 15 years.
Hmm. Okay, so that's where you got your start. That's very interesting. Now, how did the name Puzzles for Us come about?
Well, you know, that's a good question, too, because when I came, well, yeah, when I came up with the idea for a puzzle book series, I wanted to do a puzzle books series. I didn't have a name, you know, off the bat. You know, all I knew was that I wanted to do a book. And my first book was a crossword puzzle book. But somewhere along the way, I said, wow, you know, I like doing puzzles. And I would pick up, you know, like maybe a Daily News or New York Times or, you know, one of the magazines that have these crossword puzzles. And I noticed that, you know, most of the puzzles, you know, the information in it had very little to do about, you know, people of color, you know. And I said, wow, okay. So I started playing around with different ideas. Okay, what do I call what I'm doing? What do I call this? And, you know, like how they have Toys R Us. You know, I started playing around with, you know, with that idea. Well, Toys R Us, well, Puzzles R Us. And I said, okay, Puzzles for Us. Because, you know, the mainstream, you know, puzzles that you see, like in these newspapers and magazines, you know, for the most part, you know, without even saying it, they tend to be, you know, slanted towards, you know, Western Eurocentric type of information. And not, you know, to put that down, you know, I mean, that has its place. But, you know, most of the people who are designing these puzzles, you know, they're of Euro, you know, American background. So, of course, they design the puzzles drawing upon, you know, their own frame of reference, which is mostly Europe, you know, America, you know, that kind of stuff. So as I began doing the puzzle, I said, okay, I want to, you know, design a series where we're centrally placed in the story. I mean, it doesn't have to be all about us or only about us, but I want us, you know, people that look like us, that look like me and you, to be the central character or the central topic and theme will revolve around people that look like us. So that really, you know, helped, you know, me come up with the name of Puzzles for Us. Because, you know, it was really designed with, you know, with people of color in mind. But over the years, it's evolved and become even more than that.
Very good. And I can see there's definitely a need for a company like yours as well. And when you said Puzzles for Us, because we need this for self-esteem.
Definitely.
A lot of our kids, we don't have that type of frame of reference. It's kind of hard to see how we fit in.
Exactly. Right? And see, you know, and you hit it right on the head, because what happens is, unfortunately, you know, we get left out of the narrative. You know, when others tell the story, you know, they typically leave us out or minimize the role that we play or the contributions that we've made, you know, just to the ongoing evolution of society as a whole. And I mean, so that's the sad part. So that's why, you know, you're right. We have to have, you know, type resources such as Puzzles for Us, you know, that really fill in those missing pieces, you know.
Exactly. Now, with the puzzles, now give me some examples of how you bring the Afrocentric part of it into focus.
Okay. Well, we'll say, for example, like one of the stories I tell, I love to tell it, is about a young woman named Claudette Colvin. I have a word search puzzle, you know, where it features, it highlights her story. And basically, just to really quickly give you the background on Claudette Colvin, in 1955, you know, we know that, you know, from history, we know Rosa Parks, in December of that year, she refused to give up a seat on the bus in Montgomery, Alabama. But very few of us know that there was a 15-year-old girl named Chloe Colson who lived in the same town, Montgomery, Alabama, as Rosa Parks, who in March of the same year did the same exact thing. She when she left school, she was a 10th grader. She left school. When she got on the bus that day, the rule was that if you got on the bus, that you could sit where you wanted to, but if the bus started getting crowded and white people got on the bus, you had to get up and move to the back. And when she got on the bus that day, she got on the bus with her girlfriend, and, you know, when the bus started filling up and the white passengers started getting on, the bus driver, like, looked at her and told her she had to get up, and she refused to move. You know, they got into an argument. Eventually, he called the police, and they dragged her off the bus, you know, and they dragged her off kicking and screaming. She was saying, she shouted, "I got rights, you know, I know my rights, you can't do this," and blah, and so forth. So, you know, her story I tell because, you know, even though, you know, most of us know about Rosa Parks, it's Claudia Colvin. Her case is the case that went to the Supreme Court and became the groundbreaking case that desegregated buses in Montgomery, Alabama, not Rosa Parks.
Hmm.
You know,
now most people are not aware of that.
They're not aware of it. And I like telling the story because she was 15 years old. So when I go into schools and I talk to young people, I use that, you know, to kind of inspire them to say, look, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, to stand up for what you believe in. Corlett was 15, and she had teachers, you know, two African-American teachers that instilled in their students, you know, look, you have a rich history that you need to be proud of. You know, so all year long, they had been drilling this into the students. So when Corlett got on the bus that day, you know, this was in the back of her mind, and look, you know, I got rights too, you know. And so fast forward, well, people don't know that she's still alive, and she lives right here in New York.
Right here in New York.
She's still alive. She's about 74, 75 years old. You know, I had a chance to meet her earlier this year at a NAACP function up here in the Bronx. Amazing woman with an amazing story. Very humble, you know. And when she tells the story, she said, unfortunately, like, you know, a little later in the year, you know, this older guy took her under his wing, and she got pregnant. And I think that's the reason why the NAACP opted not to use her, you know.
Oh,
and then also, she was very outspoken. So they wanted somebody a little bit more conservative and less outspoken, you know. And so that's why they didn't really go with her, even though they used her name as one of the plaintiffs in the case when they brought the suit against, you know, the Montgomery, Alabama. So you know, so to answer your question, so these are the kind of stories I tell in my puzzle books. I don't tell it in as much detail, but I give people enough information to whet their appetite, you know, and that's kind of helping them connect the dots.
I see.
Right.
I see. Very good. Very good. Now, give me another story that you use in the puzzle.
Okay. Another story is, here's a good one. In one of the puzzle books, In Search of Yourself, I have a picture of an early draft of the Statue of Liberty. Now, some people heard that there was that there was rumor that there was a black Statue of Liberty. There's a picture that comes out the Schomburg Library, and in the picture it shows, you know, a African-American woman. She's fair-skinned. She looks like she's of mixed ancestry with shackles on her feet. And this is supposed to be one of the early drawings of the Statue of Liberty, you know.
Really?
Yeah, and so that's one of the things that's in my book is in a section called Matters of Fact, you know, where I have a picture and then I have a little commentary that follows it. You know, so along with that, and then there's other puzzles. There's puzzles on Venus and Serena Williams. There's puzzles on self-esteem, puzzles on bullying, you know, which is a big thing these days. I have a puzzle book called Piecing It Together for Teenagers, where I have puzzles on racial profiling, on stop and frisk,
yeah.
You know, and a host of other things. Puzzles on teenagers starting their own business, you know, on African-American, on inventions in the household that was invented by African-Americans, like the egg beater, refrigerator, you know, the fire escape. I mean, on and on. So these are kind of, like, this is the kind of information I like to include in the puzzle series. You know,
yeah.
So most of the time people say, wow, I didn't know that.
You know, you'd be surprised. A lot of adults don't know this. Not only the children, but a lot of adults are not aware of this as well.
Exactly. And, you know, I tell folks, too, that a lot of this I didn't know until I started doing the series and started doing the research.
Hmm.
And it just astounded me, you know, the stuff I started finding out. You know, like potato chips. You know, who would, you know, African-American invented potato chips.
Potato chips,
you know. And it's crazy because, you know, his name was George Crumb. he worked. He this was in the 1800s. He worked as a chef. He was a cook in a restaurant. You know, and the story goes that, you know, someone that came in, you know, a white guy came and ordered some fries, some home fries. But the way he ordered it, he was very nasty and, you know, disrespectful. And so when, you know, George Crumb, when he went back into the kitchen to prepare the potatoes, the home fries, you know, he was pretty angry. He was pretty, you know, he said, okay, I'm going to show this guy. And so he prepared them with the intention of burning them. And so when he went by, so he cut them up real thin and, you know, he fried them real hard, you know, hoping the guy didn't like them. The guy loved it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, and wanted more. And so, you know, that's how the story goes. And so that was the beginning of potato chips, you know. Simple things like that, which, you know, that was a lot of time we take for granted.
Yes.
Yeah, like the game tic-tac-toe. You know, most kids, school kids play it. I play it. You know, a lot of kids still play tic-tac-toe.
Sure.
It was invented in Africa, in ancient Egypt. There's a book called Africa Counts. It's by this, you know, woman. She's a Caucasian woman, but she's a scholar. And she did some research some years ago about mathematical systems in Africa. And in her book, Africa Counts, she talks about how the game tic-tac-toe, you know, was a game of strategy and how it originated in ancient Egypt. I mean, over like 2,000 years ago.
Really?
And that's the other thing. I like to give people the source information so they don't just take my word for it, so they can go out there and do the research and follow up on their own.
So your these puzzles actually make you think.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I notice you call it edutainment.
Right. The idea is to have fun while you're learning.
That's the only way to do it.
Right, to have fun while you're learning. So as they're doing the puzzle, most people don't even realize it because it's kind of subliminal. You know, they say, wow, I couldn't put the book down. I really got into it. You know, some people tell me, some like grandparents, they buy it for their grandkids. And they say, look, I didn't even give it to them. I started doing the puzzle and decided to keep it for myself, you know. So, you know, have fun and learn at the same time.
Okay, so it's not only... So it's not only for kids, so adults can actually get a lot out of this, too.
Exactly. It's actually for ages 5 to 95.
Oh, 5 to 95.
5 to 95. Anybody that enjoys doing a good puzzle, a word search, crossword, I even have some Sudoku puzzles.
That's excellent. Now, did you have any challenges getting your company off the ground?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Really?
Right. When I first started out, it started out as a hobby. You know, I was just doing it on the side. I was still working my regular 9 to 5, and then you know, I know with the idea in mind that eventually I wanted to go, you know, full time. And but what was happening was that as I started making the transition from a full time job to the business, you know, money ran out.
Yes,
and but good, fortunately for me, I found out about, you know, an organization called Project Enterprise. You know, they're based here in New York. And they're a micro-lending organization that works with, you know, underserved communities, you know, helping them, you know, connecting them to resources, you know, to get them up and started, you know. So along with, you know, the networking opportunities, they also provide small microloans ranging from $750 to maybe about $6,000.
Right.
You know, which is seed money, you know. So, you know, several years ago, you know, I don't recall how I found out about them, but I heard about them. I went to one of their orientation sessions, and I became a member. You know, when I became a member, I was able to, you know, to join up with other individuals who either had ideas for a business, were doing their business as a hobby or part-time or whatever. But, you know, it put me in a circle of like-minded folks, you know, which really helped.
That's the key.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
That's good. And so you were able to tap into that resource
right.
to extend the life of your company.
Exactly. And that's how I actually got started. I mean, using Project Enterprise as an incubator, you know, helped me really formalize and structure my idea. Because prior to that, it was just like a hobby. You know, I didn't really have like a business plan. I didn't have like, you know, I didn't really have any type of business sense. Because, again, my background is programming. So all this was new for me, keeping records. You know, I didn't even know how to price the book. You know, once I got my books printed, you know, how much do I charge? So I was giving away a lot of stuff free. Yeah, because I was just so excited to have a book. I said, wow, I finally did it.
Right.
Yeah, because
right.
I had been sitting on the idea for years before I finally got up the courage to do it. And so, you know, a word to your listeners, you know, if anybody out in your listening audience have an idea for a business and that they've been sitting on, you just got to do it. You know, you can sit on it. You can say, oh, well, I'm going to do it when the right time. You know, there's no time like the present.
Exactly, exactly. And you definitely seize the moment.
Exactly. And see, and once you set forth your clear intention that this is what I want to do, the help will come. Because once I got clear that, okay, I really want to do this, doors start opening up. I start meeting people, who knew other people, you know, who knew about organizations like Project Enterprise. You know, but that's how it happens. But as long as you're on the sidelines, not jumping in and not moving forward with your idea, your vision, it's not going to happen.
And that's why I think it's so important that we network with each other, you know, because there's so much information out there, but sometimes you need someone to kind of show you where it is.
Exactly, exactly. It's kind of like how we met. We met at an event on Saturday. You know?
At the United Federation of Teachers Parent Conference, wasn't it?
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know, so again, networking, sometimes you have to put yourself out there, you know, because you never know who you may meet.
Now, let me ask you this in regards to your company now that you, how long have you been in business right now?
It's going on 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah, 5 years full time. I was doing it as a hobby like long before that.
Yes.
But as a full time business, it's been almost 5 years now.
Okay, great. So now the contact that you've made, would you say that you guys are growing at a faster pace now?
We're growing at a faster pace, but as most small businesses will tell you, sometimes it's not fast enough.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, yeah, but it's growing as fast because what happens is that, you know, and I tell people this all the time, as I'm growing the business is growing me.
Hmm.
You know.
Yes.
In other words, there are a lot of things I had to learn. It's kind of like on-the-job training that once
yes.
you put yourself out there, you know, you're learning as you go along. And in the early years, I made a lot of mistakes. And one of them was I jumped out there without having really a clear plan, you know.
Okay. And I always say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
That's so true. That's so
right?
true.
It's so true today. So true. I was telling my daughter that not too long ago. So we always have to have a plan in place. Because if you have a plan in place, you're going to follow that plan.
Right. And even if you change it up later on, even if you, you know, make adjustments or tweak your plan, you know, but you need to have a plan, you know, which is your roadmap. Because it gives you a sense of where you want to go and what you need to do in order to get there.
Oh, most definitely. Now, you have a contract, don't you, with the UFT and other companies?
Well, no, with the Department of Education.
Oh, the Department
right,
of Education.
Right, it's a library and reference material contract, which means that I, you know, I'm able to provide, you know, my puzzle books to schools throughout the New York City area.
Oh, nice.
You know, so, yeah, I still have to go out, which is why I was at the UFT Parent Conference on Saturday, because I still have to get out there and network and, you know, talk to folks and let folks know that this is an education resource that's available to schools in the five boroughs, you know, because other than that, people won't know about, you know, what I'm doing, you know.
Yes,
and then
yes.
when they see it, then they can say, oh, we like what you're doing, and they can invite me, have me come into the schools, they can order the puzzle books. You know, from there. But the contract allows me to do that.
I see. That's awesome. Now, you also do speaking engagements at the schools, don't you?
Yes. You know, often I get invited to come in to speak to youngsters, you know, on career days, or just maybe come in to speak on a particular theme or subject, you know. And a lot of times what I do, I incorporate maybe a word game or some type of activity as part of the conversation, you know, to make it hands-on and interactive. Yeah, so yeah, so I've been privileged to go into a number of schools, you know, in the five boroughs in the past several years and talk to students. And, you know, it's just amazing, you know, just, you know, having the opportunity because, you know, you get a chance to really hear what youngsters are really thinking. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of time, you know, the sad part to me is that, you know, there's a lot of younger teachers that's coming into the system. And a lot of times, and predominantly in New York City, you know, the schools I go into, they're predominantly 90% African-American Latino students, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, what I'm seeing is that the expectations of some of these younger teachers is very low. It's like they come into the schools with the idea that there's something wrong with these youngsters, You know, huh. So they don't see their brilliance. They don't see their potential. They see them more so as somebody that needs fixing, as somebody that's broken. And I think a lot of that comes from a lot of the misinformation, the media hype,
yes.
You know, where we get bombarded with all these negative images, you know, of what life is like, you know, in these communities of color, you know, which me, you know, you and I know is not always the case. You know, a lot of times, yeah, it's over exaggerated. That there's a lot of young people out here that's doing really positive things, some really great things, but they're not getting the attention, they're not getting the recognition that they so rightly deserve. So, you know, so when I go into school and have a chance to like talk to youngsters and hear some of the stuff they're doing, I mean, they're brilliant, they're amazing. You know, the majority of them are doing well. I mean, they have their challenges and their issues that they're struggling with, but for the most part, they're doing the best that they can. So. You know, I'm really proud of them.
Most definitely. Now, the purpose of 6 Weeks to Fitness, my podcast, is to keep our listeners informed and educated about the importance of living a healthy lifestyle. Now, do you have puzzles that can educate our listeners about the importance of good health?
Yes, definitely.
Give me some examples.
Excellent question. I have a puzzle called Heal Thyself. Heal Thyself. I have another puzzle called Food for Thought, which, you know, Food for Thought is sometimes not just what you're eating when you sit down to dinner table that affects, like, you know, how you feel, but it's the kind of the emotions and thoughts that you're feeling yourself, you know. It's like, how do you start your day? Do you start your day, like, you know, optimistic, you know, joyous, with a good disposition, or with a bad attitude? You know, who are the people that you're listening to? You know, do you gossip a lot? You know, because that's food for the mind. Gossip. If I'm always like, you know, listening to he say, she say, that type of stuff, you know, I mean, you know, and I get caught up in that, a lot of times that's negative. So if I feed myself a mental diet of negative stuff, if I'm talking about people in a negative way, if I'm, you know, focusing on what other people have or don't have or what they should be doing or not doing, you know, and spending more time, you know, maybe putting people down or being critical or judgmental. I mean, so that's like a negative mental diet I'm feeding myself, which affects, you know, overall how I feel, you know. So that puzzle, Foods for Thought, it talks about, you know, really what are we feeding ourselves, not just physically when we sit down at the dinner table, but mentally and emotionally, you know, because how you feel, you know, really determines how you're going to act, not only with yourself, but towards others as well. And I like when you started out, when you was introducing your show, and you talked about the idea of, you know, fitness. You know, so the physical fitness, the mental fitness, the emotional fitness, and the spiritual fitness all go hand in hand. So the puzzle, you know, Food for Thought, the other puzzle, Heal Thyself, which talks about, like, you know, different things that we do, like exercising, taking a walk, drinking more water, you know, lots and lots of water, and engaging in some type of physical activity, you know, whether it's a formal exercise program or maybe it's dancing. You know, I have another puzzle called Dance Fever where it talks about the different dances, the old school, new school, like back in the days, the jitterbug, you know. And you look at those dances, like I go on YouTube sometimes, like the swing dances, them people were in shape. You know, they were throwing folks up in the air and through their legs and stuff. I mean, there's this guy, you know, Frankie Manning, you know, he passed away a few years ago. He was like in his 80s. But, you know, he belonged to a group of dancers during the 40s and 50s. This guy was awesome. You know, he did some stuff like, you know, at the Savoy Ballroom in Harlem. And folks go on YouTube and see some of the dance moves that he innovated. You know, it was just out of this world, you know. So, you know, the puzzle really talks about like Dance Fever, how folks, you know, just to be more physically active. You know, like these days, there's a lot of free dance classes across the city. You know, there's flying dancing, which is big now. Salsa dancing is another big one.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I urge folks, even swing dance classes. You know, I take some myself. And so I encourage folks, you know, in the puzzle, you know, and now just, you know, to go out, to take advantage of this, just, you know, to stay active, you know, because I think it ties in with, you know, the theme and your mission, which is the help people become fit, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's mental fitness, like you said, mental and physical and spiritual, holistically.
Exactly.
all tied together. This is great. And now I'm very excited about your puzzles, and I'm sure my listeners are also, I'm sure you piqued their interest, and they would like to know, where can they see them, where can they get them, how can they order them?
Okay. Folks can go to my website. It's www.puzzlesforus.com. I'll say it again. It's www.puzzlesforus.com. So puzzlesforus.com. Or they could call me at 718-538-6102. That's 718-538-6102. There's a couple of locations in the city. There's a bookstore in Harlem. There's a couple bookstores in Harlem that carry them. Grandma's Place is on 120th Street. There's another bookstore called Sisters Uptown Bookstore. It's further uptown on 156th and Amsterdam. There were a few bookstores in Brooklyn. Some of them have closed. Dear Books, that was downtown Brooklyn, used to carry them. I think Nubian Heritage, Nicholas Downtown may still have some. And there may be one or two other bookstores. But folks could go to my website, and the information is on the website in terms of locations where they could pick up the books. They could find it there.
Excellent, excellent. So now what I'm going to do for my listeners, I'm going to have a picture of your logo, Kevin, on my website. Okay, so when my listeners go to the website, they'll see the logo for your company and some information, and so that the information you gave me as far as your contact information, I'll also place on the website so they can have that as well. On behalf of 6 Weeks of Fitness, I want to thank you for being on the show and sharing with my listeners information about Puzzles for Us. It's an awesome company, man, awesome books that you're creating, and I applaud you and the work that you're doing. Uplift and create awareness about how we are and what we're doing, because I believe that information is the key, you know, and that education is so important. And what you're doing with your edutainment by educating, informing, and entertaining at the same time is going to go a long way to building a better, stronger America.
So thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, man, it was great. Great having you. And to my listeners, I will talk to you again in the next episode. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.